from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo. D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spy.
What up, D-Lo and KC back on your airwaves on this hot Thursday afternoon in Sacramento, California. What's going on, man? It's your boy, Kenny Caraway, a.k.a. KC, you know what it is. Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
A shout out to my man, Damian Barling. Still champagneing and campaigning on some tropical island. You know, we talked about it yesterday. He had the coconut, you know, with the straw in it, drinking straight out of the coconut. Today, he has the pineapple with, you know, the straw in it. And he's, you know, on a beach somewhere, you know, just overlooking. There's some wind blowing or whatever the case may be. And he's got an open shirt and it's just kind of blowing in the wind. It's like, it's no socks on, nothing like that, man. It's a good look. It's a good look, man. He's champagneing and campaigning, enjoying his vacation the way he should. Man, we got more guests. You already know what it is, man. KC and friends going down today at about 12:50. I got my man, Coach JT, he's pulling up on me, man, from the 94 Feet podcast. Big ups to him. We're chasing down some other thing. I'm not going to say nothing because I don't want to get people hyped up and then it don't happen. Just know we're working on some things. We'll see how that goes down. But at 3:20, this is locked in. Hey, fellas, hide your wives. Our boy Drake UU is back at 3:20. He going to talk some hoop with me, man. He's one of the guys I love talking basketball to, man. You know, he's a baller himself. I seen him playing in the Pro-Am this year, in the SAC Pro-Am this year, man. So he's still out there active. He knows the game. He's connected, and he looks at the game, you know, as a player, as a scout, you know, as a front office guy, all that other stuff, man. So we'll talk to him about everything that's going on in the NBA. But obviously, we'll be talking about DeMar DeRozan and his fit with the Sacramento Kings. Jesse, what up, man? How you doing today?
Oh. Just got done with the show. All right, ready for another one?
Yeah, the producers, man. Come on, man. I saw y'all out there doing your thing, man.
Yeah, it was fun stuff.
Yeah, man. I was watching it, man. Shout out to my man, Lewis. When he called, and, you know, the bit is, you know, oh, Don on line one or whatever, because you can't see the names or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what happened, but this isn't Don. This is Lewis.
Is this me?
No, I love Lewis. And Lewis be getting mad when we cracking some jokes, man. Lewis, come on, man. Lewis, if you're listening, you know you my dog, man. Don't get upset. It's hilarious. You weren't familiar with the bit, and he's just – I love Lewis. I wish Lewis would call my show a little bit more, man. Come or our show a little bit more, man. I'd love to hear from Lewis, man. But that was funny. But good job on the producers, man. Always, man. A young budding star, Jesse Tapia, doing his thing.
All we do is work.
Did you watch the Team USA game last night?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
I was hyped for that.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited just for the tournament. So I was talking to Kyle about it. Do you think this is the most talent the Olympics had as far as basketball?
This is I'm gonna say it right now, and it's ironic that you brought it up the way you did. This has potential to be I ain't even gonna call it potential. I'm gonna tell you it is the greatest basketball tournament of all time going on this summer. I don't wanna say it's the apex, it's the crescendo of basketball, because, you know, players are just going to keep getting better. But I'll say this is the first time. There's stars
in other countries now and all. That's not just Team USA. Oh, Canada's got some NBA guys. Australia's got some. Like, no, there's stars elsewhere now.
The Team Canada's all NBA players. Mm-hmm. That one guy who got in late in the game, I don't know who he was. I guess he's on the NBA, but I don't know who he was. But other than that, they're all NBA players.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not just like and no disrespect, because he went to work on Team USA when he did. But it's not Carlos Arroyo. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Puerto Rico.
Hey,
shout out Puerto Rico. Back in it. Shout out Jose Alvarado, getting them back. You know, and Carlos Arroyo. He's the coach of the Puerto Rican team. They're in the same pool as USA. So I look at the world, and it's a real tournament. It's a real tournament. And the ironic thing about this, I was telling my wife about this, I think, and we'll talk about this more probably like when Dame comes back and everything, but this is quite possibly the greatest basketball team ever assembled in Team USA.
Better than the Dream Team?
I mean, like I said, we can break it down today. We can break it down with Dame. But, I mean, when you look at the Dream Team, you had Larry and Magic who were at the end.
Yeah, I was like, how many of those guys were actually in their prime?
More than you think. Most of them were. It was just Larry and Magic who were done. But Stockton Malone were prime. Pippen and Jordan were prime. Barkley won the MVP the following year. David Robinson was prime. Patrick Ewing was prime. So all those guys were in their prime. Magic and Larry, like if Magic and Larry were in their prime, that might take it over the top, right? But I'm just going to look at the team as they were when they were constructed, you know? And I don't know, this team is crazy. You got to take off Kawhi now. I don't know how much that
affects. Derek White just elevates them.
We'll talk about that. We'll get into that because, yeah, we'll talk about that. They missing a little bit. Somebody said the fact that Kyrie isn't on the team. Like, can you imagine this team with Kyrie on there?
Oh, it's kind of like rumblings. It's 2-2, Jalen and Kyrie not on Team USA because of relationships that have soured, maybe.
That's crazy. I want to talk about that in depth a little bit because that deserves more than just a mention. But I looked at the roster. They had like they showed the team picture or something like that. I mean, goodness gracious. LeBron, Steph, Joel Embiid, Ant-Man, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Bam. And I love Bam. Bam is probably on the low end, you know, of this. But he's still a great basketball player. Like, he's phenomenal. Man, who else am I missing on this team?
As far as stars, I mean, you didn't name KD, right?
I didn't name KD.
KD.
Oh man, this team is maybe the greatest basketball team ever assembled. And I say all that to say, I was watching the game last night, and until the second unit came in there and started to turn up, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, or whatever the case may be, I was like, this ain't gonna be easy. This is not gonna be easy. This is quite arguably the greatest team ever assembled, and I'm picking them to win the gold medal. Would I be shocked if they didn't? I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock into actually how they look, because I feel like every time Team USA plays, like their opening game, it always just looks kind of wonky. Like they got to get used to each other and all that.
Mm. But, no, true. Yeah. But I'm just looking at.
But you are right. Like, there's more. There is more talent elsewhere. It's not just a matter of like USA is going to beat everyone by 30 and win the gold medal. Like, we're long past that.
And
you got to play ball now.
You got to hoop. You got to be locked in. You got to have some type of, as my coach, the coach Chappelle would say, at CK McClatchy, my sophomore year, you got to have some continuity. You got to have continuity. He used to say it that way. I was like, bro, just say continuity. Like, I don't know why you got to say continuity.
Is he from Boston?
No, he's from.
Teacher was Tommy Heinsohn?
He's from like Pocket. Like, what do we.
Tommy Heinsohn was your teacher?
Continuity. But that's when I learned that word. So thank you, Coach Chappelle. And that wasn't even big Coach Chappelle. That was his little brother, Mike Chappelle, who was saying all that. But, I watched that game. And is it crazy to think that some games, kind of like yesterday, the second unit is going to have to bail these guys out?
I was telling Kyle, I texted him yesterday too. We got to get the younger guys in there. It's their time. It's their time.
They changed the game.
They flipped
yesterday.
The switch.
Yeah.
It's their time.
They changed the game.
Ant-Man came in, Tatum.
Yeah. I forgot Anthony Davis is on that team too.
Might need to start him, but we'll talk about that, I guess.
Over Joel?
Yeah. I don't know how much Joel Embiid starting Team USA center can last.
Why?
And just felt like they flowed better with AD out there and Bam out there. Joel was kind of like hunting for fouls and all. He's got to play ball.
What do we think about Joel as a defender?
I was
trying
not,
to think about this today.
He's not Bam Adebayo.
I got a point to make.
He's good, but he's not Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's a good rim protector, I guess, but. I was trying to think, and I got a point to make later because with the whole Kings thing or whatever the case may be, and I was thinking about Joel, and I was like, I think he's an okay defender. I don't think he's like this great defender.
He's good enough, maybe. I don't know. It never really gets discussed.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, to your point, though, yeah, maybe that is the case. Joel, I found it funny. I think it was in third quarter. When he gave Powell a forearm shiver to the throat, and Powell went up to him like, yo, what we doing? He's like, I can't play physical. We can't play physical. No, that was not legal, sir.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You can't give somebody a forearm to the throat. Yeah, I was waiting for a fight because I was waiting for Dylan to get involved with LeBron and all this other stuff.
Did you see Dylan Brooks walk in front of Devin Booker's media availability after the game? Booker's answering the question. Doesn't even miss a beat either. Just keeps answering the question. You see Dylan Brooks just walk right across.
Dylan Brooks, man. He kind of – it was a bad look, that Lakers series, when he was with Memphis and doing all that talking. But I'd love to have a Dylan Brooks on my team, man.
They're good players. They help. They're annoying as hell when they don't play for your team. But like, if they're on your team, you're gonna love them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But you know, we could talk about it more. I could talk about it with Coach JT. I could talk about it with you. We could talk about it with Drake UU. I think this is potentially the greatest basketball tournament we have ever seen, about to take place in Paris, and. Yeah,
that's far. Can you imagine if, I don't know if it'll ever reach it because the World Cup is massive, but just talent all around in these countries and it just becomes this bigger thing, like for the Olympics. Like, they don't need their own tournament. The Olympics is like the World Cup equivalent. Like, can you imagine it just gets that big, where just all these teams are good now?
They have a possibility of doing it. Like, they play soccer in the Olympics, correct?
Yeah,
they play soccer. Yeah, but it's, I mean, nobody's really tripping. It's the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
We can get to a situation in 10 to 20 years where the basketball World Cup may take precedence over the Olympics.
Maybe. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. It's like 10, 20 years from now, maybe basketball's just so developed everywhere else, where it's just, now it's this big tournament.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to step out real quick. We got my man, Coach JT, coming up in about 20, 30 minutes or so. We've got Drake UU. Hide your wives. He's coming up on 320. And we're efforting some other things. But when we come back, I want to talk Kings. I want to talk about what you guys were talking about on the Insider / the Producers, man. This whole notion about starting, this whole notion about defense. I got some thoughts. So we'll talk about all that, man. It's D-Lo and KC, just KC today, KC and friends, on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, man, back here on D'Lo and KC. Let me take care of a little business real quick. This is a crazy day for birthdays. First air horn. Shout out to Dr. David's daughter, Alyssa. Happy 18th birthday. Happy birthday to Alyssa. Happy birthday to my niece and nephew, Jocelyn and Julian. I ain't going to put their name out or their age out there, but happy birthday to niece and nephew. Big ups to them. Happy birthday, Auntie Cindy. Definitely not putting her age out there either. You don't do that for a woman. But happy birthday, Auntie Cindy, a.k.a. Monet. I'm Zeke. She's Monet. So happy birthday. And you know, just wanted to wish the happy birthdays. But you know,
let's get back to disrespecting Hall of Famers.
We're not bringing that conversation to the air.
We're hating today, fellas.
No. Hey, go ahead, Jesse, talk. I'm going to turn my back. I ain't being part of it.
No, don't do that. You were part of this conversation. You're the one who said Tim Hardaway was the bar, I believe.
I mean, we might have a new bar, too, and I'm not going to say who it is.
Draymond Green?
He's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Not yet.
Like I said, I'm turning my back, bro. I'm not doing this to these Hall of Famers.
Why not? It's fun.
Nah, I mean.
It's not a disrespect. It's just a matter of who's holding the line. Yeah, who's the bouncer?
So we were talking about, like, comparing the 92 team and this year's 2024 team. And one of the things I said about the 92 team, even though Magic and Larry were past their primes or, you know, weren't really playing, outside of Christian Laettner, that entire team is Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers. And we said, can this 2024 team have that same amount of Hall of Famers? And I don't think so. You guys made a great argument. I think Drew, after you guys talked about it, because I put Drew Holiday in there as somebody who won't make the Hall of Fame. After you guys broke it down, I think Drew Holiday does make it. I mean, he's going to be I can look this up real quick. Let me see. I want to make sure I'm accurate because my guess is he's going to end up being like a six-time all-defensive player. He's already a six-time all-defensive player. He's probably going to make two more.
He just needs to keep his pace, honestly.
Yeah, so two-time all-star. He's going to be an eight-time all-defensive guy, two-time NBA champ. He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah, he gets in. But like the other side, though, I don't think Derek White and I don't think Bam Adebayo as of right now are getting in.
Yeah, Bam is the tough one. Bam is the tough one because I can see a situation where much like Drew Holiday, Bam's already at five all-defensive teams.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. What if Bam adds a couple of gold medals here and there, too? Yeah,
so he gets a gold medal.
Yeah, it's not necessarily
rings. He might get two. He might get two gold medals. He's already a three-time All-Star, already a five-time All-Defensive player. With the way the East is right now, I saw this graphic the other day of potential All-Stars in the Western Conference and potential All-Stars in the Eastern Conference. Oh, my gosh. It's literally like it's damn near 20-1. That's damn near what it was with the Western Conference compared to the Eastern Conference. I mean, the road to being an All-Star in the Eastern Conference, no disrespect to those All-Stars, but the road is much, much easier in the Eastern Conference. I say all that to say Bam is probably, especially at the center forward position, he's probably going to end up being like a, what would you say, like an eight-time All-Star? He's got three right now.
Yeah, that's
eight-time
fair.
Eight-time All-Star.
He's already been to the finals twice.
Eight-time All-Star. Probably going to be a seven, eight, nine-time
All-Defensive
Yeah,
you know what?
Player.
He's not now, but if he keeps up the pace like Drew Holiday, I think he gets in.
Yeah, the accolades are going to be too much. Like you mentioned, probably two gold medals, one to two gold medals. And then if he wins a championship somewhere, hell, if he finally reunites with his college teammates, Malik Monk, and De'Aaron Fox here in Sacramento, get him his championship. Yeah, Bam will probably make the Hall of Fame.
Derek White, it's up to you, or you're Christian Laettner at this point.
Tyrese make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. That's all I'll say.
I'd put my money on Tyrese making the Hall of Fame. The crazy thing about it is, you compare it to Drew Holiday. Is he going to have the accolades that Drew Holiday has? And that may, right. not,
yeah,
that
well,
may
yeah.
not be what keeps him out. I ain't saying that. But he'll be a 10-time All-Star.
They voted him all NBA because he played well for 30 games. That's why I didn't want to get into it. I don't want to be disrespectful.
That was a trip.
Tyrese is great.
That was a trip. But he's going to be a 10-time All-Star, at least. A 10-time All-Star. I'll give him that.
He's on his way.
What would you say? Three or four-time All-NBA?
I'll go higher, 6-7. He made it like he really took over this year and like he got it. Like
he's gonna be,
he'll be there. Like you said, the East. There's just, who's he gonna compete with right now?
Yeah.
As far as guard, like it's not guards, like position by position, but he's top 15 player in the top player in the East.
So let me ask you this, and I'm not even gonna say. You guys can guess the player if you want to. I'm not gonna say it because I'm not gonna be a hater. For those watching on the YouTube stream, I mean, yeah, it's a party back there.
We got a band.
Did you know who the people were that performed? I don't know.
The band Camino.
Shout out to them. Shout out to them. I'm not familiar with their game, but they were here at the Odyssey Studios performing. You guys, I mean, that's what happens here at Odyssey. I bet if Sexy Red came in and performed, after the other half of the people here wouldn't know who Sexy Red is. So it happens. It's all good.
You get Sexy Red on the show.
Well,
Sexy Red, what do you think about Keon Ellis starting this season?
Bow, bow, bow.
Good enough.
Sexy Red are gonna be on the shop. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, she's gonna be on the shop talking to Bron and Maverick and Andre 3000 is on that episode as well. That's gonna be a good episode.
Sexy Red is wild. I don't get it, but power to her, I guess.
Oh man, shout out Sexy Red. I most of the time I like Sexy Red. Sometimes she go off the deep end, but most of the time she's very entertaining. But I'm just gonna name this person's numbers, and I'm not gonna name the person. I'm not gonna do that. But I think Jesse will understand when I say why I'm naming numbers. Five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. Tyrese is going to go over that.
You say Tyrese can go over five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
All right, well, that's...
Who is that?
It's the bar, so...
Oh, it's Tim Hardaway?
Hey, chill.
I'll say the name. I'm not scared. It's Tim Hardaway. That's the bar. That's your guy. I'm just saying who you said is the bar.
Chill.
It's not my take. I'll say it, but it's not my take.
So then the conversation went into, like, there were other people who were being considered as the bar. And, yeah, there's some. I mean, somebody on here mentioned Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace.
Kyle threw that one out there.
He's almost a you had to be there type guy. And I don't even really know how long his run was. It feels like he was always this guy, but the run was probably more so like 3 or 4 years. Like it probably wasn't as long as we remember it. As I look his situation, he's a 4-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA. Is this? Oh yeah, this is right. I remember Draymond talking about this. 4-time Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think Ben Wallace can be the bar no more.
Yeah, no, those DPOYs mean something.
Yeah, he's not the bar. He's definitely not the
disrespectful
bar.
Disrespectful, like Kyle Madsen.
Somebody else said, and see, I'm doing exactly what I said I would not do, is going down the list. Somebody said Maurice Cheeks. Now, Mo Cheeks.
You're going to have to tell me about that one.
Mo Cheeks, I'm not that damn old, Jesse.
What the hell's going on here? I thought he was like, my bad.
But his numbers are kind of similar to Tim Hardaway's. 4-time All-Star. He never made an All-NBA, but he was a 5-time All-Defensive guy and an NBA champion, Hall of Fame. He's probably more of you had to be there. Because Philly was one of the top teams in that era when he played. They kept knocking on the door. He was probably the second or third best player on that team. It was Doc. It was probably Mo. And then they got Moses Malone. And then he like went down to the third best player. But they won a championship. So Maurice Cheeks, Tim Hardaway, they're probably.
They're definite Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And I get it. Like I lived through Tim Hardaway. I know. Tim Hardaway was he was one of the more popular players in the league, you know, when he was with Golden State, obviously, and then when he was with Miami on those good teams. So I understand him being in the Hall of Fame. I understand Mo Cheeks being in the Hall of Fame. The whole point of this exercise is the 92 team only had one guy who wasn't an All-Star. It looks like this 2024 team probably is only going to have one guy that isn't an All-Star.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
they're going at your boy in the chat, by the way.
Who?
JToy15. Vladdy's in the Hall of Fame with a little. They're going at your boy.
This is what we not going to do.
And I think he's a Hall of Famer, by the way. Like Vladdy did enough internationally and all that. Like he's a Hall of Famer. So I'm just saying they're going at your boy.
I probably shouldn't have pulled up the basketball reference.
Oh yeah, it's like when I pulled up Kevin McHale's. It was bad.
I think
Don't even go to it. Pull up his international numbers or something.
It's a little too late, but hey man, I don't care what y'all talking about, man. Vladdy a Hall of Famer, man. Stop
that. Yeah, that's disrespect.
We're not gonna do this to Vladdy Divac. We're not gonna do this. Matter of fact, I'm getting off of this basketball reference Vladdy Divac page. I'm getting off of it because I don't want to see this.
Vladdy belongs, bro. Vladdy belongs. Don't let that GM stuff get in the way and cloud it. He belongs.
That was kind of rough. I ain't going to lie to you.
It was.
That was kind of you saw what I said.
No. I thought you were talking about the GM stuff. But I'll pull up the basketball reference if you want me to.
I want to see your react. Just pull it up real quick, man. Just pull it up right here on here. I want to see what's – because it's – I mean – look, man, it don't tell the whole story. All right? It don't tell the whole story.
Let's see what we're working with. I'm pulling up basketball reference right now. Hold on.
Come on. Come on, man.
All right, so Shaquille and Ellis start? What do you guys think? Pull up the international numbers now, Kenny. Bro, that's worse than McHale's.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I got McHale's in front of me right now. It's not even close.
Someone's going to need to do some explaining right now. Pull up the international numbers now.
Oh, man. Vladdy a Hall of Famer, man. Do not do this. He is not the bar. We are not doing this on Sacramento Sports Leader. I don't care what the hell y'all talking about. We are not doing that.
Like I said, I'm still with Vladdy being in the Hall of Fame, but
yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, and that's where we're gonna leave it. All right, that's where we're gonna leave it. We ain't gonna get into numbers. That's such a casual take. Accolades. That's such a casual take. Watch the game.
Did he win a gold medal at least?
I don't think he won a gold
medal. Who cares? Vladdy's in the Hall of Fame. Deal with it.
I don't think he won a gold medal either. I don't even know if they played in a championship game, to be honest with you. I don't know, man. It's kind of rough. We ain't got to get his mind.
Vladdy's influence bringing the international game over.
There we go.
You can't put a price on that.
He opened the door,
yes, sir,
for what we see now. He grandfathered what we see now.
Like Nikola Jokic fella? Yeah, Vladdy.
Come on, man. Come on, Vlade Divac, Hall of Famer.
And you know what? Stephen Brown throws it in there. Still better numbers than Draymond. We won't talk about the accolades, but the numbers are better.
Yeah, we ain't going to leave the accolades. The numbers are better. Hey, that's a great point. That's a great point, man, because Vlade, except for assists, I think he's got Draymond beat everywhere. Now, Draymond, one of the great defenders of his time, one of the great defenders in the history of the game. I'll give that to Draymond Green. I'm not no hater. He's one of the great defenders this game has ever seen. But, yeah, Vlade.
Don't do that to Vlade.
Vlade's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. We ain't going to do that.
Throw him in the Ring of Honor, too.
There we go. Well, his jersey already retired.
And we're set.
Yeah, his jersey already retired. That's Mando. Oh, did you see? Oh, man. And I don't want to do this either, man. I don't want to do this, man. Did you see?
Hey, hold on. Hey, take a lap, Toxic 916. Says if Kobe wears in the Hall of Fame, then Vlade. Take a lap, bro. Take a lap.
Don't do that to neither one of them. Honest with you, Toxic. Don't do that to neither one of them. I don't know what the hell's going on here. The level of disrespect
that's wild.
That's going on in the show. I need to grab control of the show once, because the level of disrespect going on in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House is getting out of hand.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, Chatty House is acting up today.
It's getting damn out of hand. You know what else is getting out of hand? Did you? No, man. Look, hey, you talked about Ring of Honor and everything, man. And look, man. Hey, I'm just saying this is my guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not laughing at him. I'm just. It's just a funny situation that makes people chuckle. It's not personal. But did you see about a week ago? Our guy, Mike Bibby, said he wanted his number retired here in Sacramento.
I saw it.
As soon as they got DeRozan, you'll be wearing number 10, buddy. Oh, man.
Yeah, that lasted about a week, huh? I'd be hurt. I'd be hurt.
Oh, man. See, and this is why we need more Ring of Honors. Come on, man. People get all upset about retire. Bibby, you certified and verified here in Sacramento. Don't worry about that number. Yeah. We're going to honor you with the little Ring of Honor thing or the Wall of Fame joint or something like that. We're going to honor you that way. You ain't got to worry about the number. We got you. Oh, that was tough.
Yeah, I felt bad. That's tough.
Ain't even wait till training camp. It was they had DeMar with the number 10 less than 24 hours after the signing. That wasn't even official yet, I don't think. I don't even know if it was official.
Yeah. Shout out Mike Bibby, though.
Shout out Mike Bibby, man.
Hey, you know what? Great players wear 10 for the Kings. That's how we'll do it.
There we go. Ooh, do it like college. That's what Michigan does for number 2. Well, it's not retired. And that's Charles Woodson. It's not retired. That's like your leader. That's your guy. You know what I'm saying? The leader of the squad, they wear number 2. That's what number 10 is.
Something like that. Like in soccer, they don't retire numbers. It's just if you're up next, you get like Messi. Someone else in Barcelona got the number 10 shirt, so you just got to be ready to go. You got to
be a heavy hitter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. DeMar DeRozan, I think you can fill that role.
There you go, Mike. We got you, dog. We ain't going to let nothing like that happen. But yeah, man, international play going up. I can't wait for the Olympics. It's going to be the greatest basketball tournament of all time. On the insiders / the producers, you guys were talking about starting and Keon Ellis, and this comes off the heels of Keon Ellis going to work on pods last night. That boy put pods in the torture chamber last night. I'm just joking. Pods was out there and was getting some of the work, but everybody was getting some of that work from Keon yesterday. 30 points, tried to single-handedly bring the Kings back in the California Classic finale. And looked great out there. I'm a big proponent of guys like Keon, guys like Keegan Murray last year. You got no business being out there. Like, what you playing for? Like, you're a starter or a borderline starter in this league. No need for you to be out there with the tryhards. But they went out there. Nobody got hurt. It's all good. And he did what you would expect an established NBA guy to do, and that's light him up. You know what I mean? He's doing what he's supposed to. Doing what he's supposed to. And, you know, that had a lot of people asking the question. They've been asking since DeMar got here, to be fair. But last night, they were like, yo, Keon ready. Like, Keon should start. I heard you guys talking. I'll let you reiterate what it is you feel with the whole starting thing. But should Keon be the starting two guard for this team?
Yeah, I think so, 1,000%. Like, there's I would like to know why Malik Monk wants to start. Like, if Malik Monk was like, I need to start or whatever, then fine. Like, it's not going to kill the Kings or whatever. But I just think that Keon, and we'll look at, like, towards the end of last season, like, Keon was knocking down shots and all that, right? He's starting to play well. We're like, oh, maybe that could be him. He's doing that now in summer league. So now I have the utmost confidence. If De'Aaron Fox or DeMar DeRozan are drawing double teams or they're driving to the cup, they kick it out to Keon, he can knock down those shots and all that and play defense. I think he kind of just reinforced why he should be the starting two. And I think, like, as far as Malik Monk, I think you maximize Monk with him coming off the bench. Like, he's going to close games and all that. And you brought up Lewis earlier. He was talking about how Monk played 26 minutes per game last season. That can't happen. He's got to be at least 30 this year.
It's going up.
But I think Monk coming off the bench, leading the second unit, like, you get the most out of him there. And I think you get the most out of Keon when other guys are setting him up. And I think you need that defense out there, too.
You know how I feel about the situation. I'm ready for the Kentucky connection to be in the backcourt. I'm all good with that. But I'm not opposed to Keon starting. Like, it's fine. I agree with you, what you talk about with what he brings on the offensive end. His teammates, before we even got a chance to see anything, his teammates were already saying, yo, he's a knockdown shooter. I remember De'Aaron was like, yo, this dude, he can shoot the rock. You guys don't really see it, but we see it in practice. We see it in shooting games and stuff like that. This dude can shoot the rock. And then we ended up seeing him actually playing, and he was a hell of a shooter. Like, if he opened, he's cashing out. Had that one game against OKC where what he had, like, 7-8 threes or something
That.
Like, he can shoot. He is not a liability. So if they're doubling De'Aaron or, you know, collapsing on Sabonis or DeMar or anything else like that, you kick it out to Keon, he is – damn near a Keegan-like sharpshooter from beyond the arc. So that's not an issue at all. My thing with this has been and always will be, and been consistent with this, who's finishing. And when you talk about defense and all this other stuff, and we'll get into that aspect of it, I don't see a situation where Keon is finishing the games.
Yeah, no, whoever's closing games, well, no, it should be Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Keegan, and then Sabonis. That should be who's closing all the time.
That's it.
Maybe if matchups are, maybe Keon's hot one day or whatever, you throw him out there, but it should always be those five, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's most important to me. And if I was the coach, if I was Coach Mike Brown, if I was Monty McNair, if I was one of the homies or whatever the case may be, that's what I'd be telling Malik Monk if he had any concerns about starting, which he hasn't shown any. He hasn't said there's any issue with him trying to start.
Yeah.
But that's what I tell him. I'd be like, look, man, you're going to finish. And like you guys talked about with Lewis and all this other stuff, you're going to play 30 to 32 minutes a night. You know, you're going to finish. You're going to be in there closing out games. Don't worry about the first 5 minutes of the game. You'll be fine. And then I know, you know, that sometimes that affects the money sometimes, right? That affects the cachet. I remember one time somebody said, you can't just say it doesn't matter, because if it didn't matter, then why are you starting your best five guys? You know,
There's
a reason you're putting those guys out there. So, you know, I understand that. I get that. But
my thing, too, is, like, is Malik Monk going to have Malik Monk is at his best when he's got the basketball in his hand, I feel. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. Is he going to have it as much when DeMar DeRozan's out there, like, with Fox and all that starting five opening up the game? Whereas, mm-hmm. like you said, you got Keon out there. We'll bring Malik off the bench however many minutes in. It's like, all right, Malik, go to work.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, and I really want to play with the numbers and see that breakdown, is how long is that going to last anyway, though? Because like I said, we've got Malik, say he comes in, he's the first sub or something like that, and then comes in for De'Aaron, maybe. And he'll be running the offense. De'Aaron going to get back in there in a second. He's going to get in there for Keon or DeRozan or whatever. So Malik going to only handle the ball like that and have the ball in his hands in that fashion for only so long. You know what I mean? But one of the things I do believe, though, and why I think the Kentucky connection starting can work, because I really feel they know how to play with each other. Like, they've done it at a high level when they were in Kentucky. We saw them play in that first round series when the stakes were the highest against the Warriors at a high level in the backcourt together.
Yeah, it's not a thing where like Malik starts. Like, it's not going to work. It won't feel like. I think it'll work. It's just a matter of, like I said, just trying to maximize everyone's abilities, I think.
I feel you. I feel you on that for sure, man. Keon starting, though, is just fine with me. He's impressive. And I've been on the record saying, I think you agree, Damian agree. I'm not the only one. I look at Keon as a all-NBA type defender. I think he has that capability in him. He can do that.
I think he's got talent to get there. He can get there eventually, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
He can lock up, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he gets there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's actually what happens, but I think he has that type of ability. I saw enough from him in that last 25 games or so, and the way he defended 1-2s and 3s and stuff like that and just did it at a high level, that he's got that capability.
Am I misremembering, or did he deal with foul trouble a bit last season as far as, like, trying to defend guys?
I think at some point he had sometimes when he was doing that or getting in foul trouble. I think one of the things was we thought he didn't get the respect as a elite defender.
Okay, well, like, even with that, like, even if he gets, like, say he does start getting that respect, like, that's going to make him even better too, because it's not just all foul.
Facts, man. Hey, man, I see him in the background. We got my guy, Coach JT, about to pull up on us, man. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about the DeRozan situation. And we're going to talk. Oh, and he texted me today. He was like, yo, man, we got to talk about Jaylen Brown. And he's right. We do have to talk about that, because we talk about Team USA and everything that's going on with that. Oof, that's a crazy situation. We'll get into all that, man. It's D-Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Yes, sir. Back here, D-Lo and KC. Four Bats, I see you, dog. You know what I mean? That's one of my favorite joints out right now, man. Shout out to Four Bats. But I got my guy in here. You know what? It can't be KC and Friends Week without my dog coming in. Shout out 94 Feet Podcast. My main man, Coach JT in the building. What up, big dog?
What up? Everybody, what's up?
So, you know, I had to ask, before we get into the Kings and all this other stuff, we had to get into some the real stuff, the real talk.
Okay.
What happened at the end of the West Sac League? I don't even know who won the game.
We lost.
Oh, well, so we champions. Air horns for me. You know what I mean? Me and my boys champions. Shout out Confucius Kings. You know what it is, baby. We champs. Undefeated season. You know the vibes. One more time. Air horns again. We're doing what we can.
You can't tell. I'm 2 weeks off of torn Achilles.
Well, that's so you tore it.
I tore it.
So look, man, I only asked because I saw you, you know, champagneing and campaigning in a couple videos, you know,
space boot on.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, yo, he's in a boot.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Because the initial diagnosis I thought was a calf situation.
Was a pulled calf, supposedly. But went back to the sports med. But you know, I mean, it was like, you know, I mean, I guess I was also blessed with a little bit of that bionic in me. He was like, the muscle around it is strong, because I didn't walk. I mean, I walked home, drove home, didn't limp off. It didn't fall like this.
Oof.
I was, hey, I'm still two stepping at the function. But he was like, you tore it. I was like, all right. But I was already a month in.
That's crazy.
I had 3 weeks in the boot, rehab, man. So as you can tell, it's getting better every day.
Yeah, man. Well, you're out the boot, so that's a good look.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. Thing, and, you know, but it's all good.
Shout out to my man, Jay Cliff. I talked about it the other day. He was the other dude on my team. He tore his Achilles in that game, man.
So the week before, somebody else, I don't know, I can't think of my boy's name. He a barber. Same thing. I said, it was the month for Achilles.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm coming
back. Hey, so officially, officially, God bless, good night.
Oh, it's over. Done. It's over.
Over.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm coming back next year. I need to get out while I'm ahead, man.
Stay in the lab with the young buck. Get your shots up. No more 5-on-5, bro. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Appreciate you, though, man. It's good to see you. Good to be back, Jess, everybody. Man, it's popping. Every time I come here, it's a party.
It is, man, all the time, man. You know, we just out here. This is what we do at the Odyssey Studios, man. Yes, we have a good time with everything, man. And, I mean, we're just going to get right into it. We're going to talk about the biggest thing going on in the city right now.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? DeMar DeRozan, the Sacramento King.
Welcome.
What was your thoughts when you heard DeMar DeRozan was going to be a King?
Initially, like, y'all, about time. Just something, first off. Mm. Waiting on some news.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was just excitement about the having another, you know, top-level guy, I believe, on the team. But also for us, depth.
Mm.
Like, thank you. We have a contingency plan
mm-hmm.
via, as we know, injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just super excited for him. He's a hard worker, demeanor. Been following him forever since USC. But just his overall career, he's somebody that you should want on your roster, even at this stage in his career, I believe.
You know, I keep talking about it every time it comes up. But it just, the more I hear from him, the introductory press conference, the way he, you know, it's a little thing, but the people in the media really appreciate it, whatever, stayed with everybody to have a one-on-one interview, gave everybody his time and all this other stuff. The thing that just keeps sticking out to me is his level of discipline and focus as a man first and as an athlete. And I was telling Jesse, there were other guys that, you know, I was interested in and that I liked or whatever the case may be. But when we see everything out in front of us now, I feel like DeMar DeRozan is the perfect guy for what this team is trying to do right now.
So
the perfect guy.
I wouldn't say perfect on my end.
Talk to him.
I was more so perfect-wise, I was going Kuzma perfect.
Mm.
That stretch 3-4 to still play small but have some size. Like Kuzma's size was something I feel we need as far as versatility against a two-way. DeMar, his work ethic, his grind is great defensively both ways. He's a solid player, strong. However, the height bothered me a little bit looking at OKC, looking at other teams with bigger threes and fours who, I mean, again, we need more length at that position, I thought. But as the next best thing, yeah, definitely happy because Kuzma was first for me, DeMar DeRozan was second. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked Kuzma first probably based upon a little younger too. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? But also now proven, right? He's been through the fire too, got a ring, tried to lead, didn't work, took over scoring. So him to fall into that role, I think that was a better fit overall for the style of play we play currently.
I like Kuzma a lot more than most people do. I think Kuzma's perfectly fine. I think if you got him here in Sacramento, he'd be just fine. Like I don't have any issues with Kuzma. He was first on my list as well. I wanted Brandon Ingram as well. I understood Lori Marketing and all this other stuff. But DeMar, there's some intangibles that DeMar brings to the table and a level of toughness mentally, emotionally, and physically that he brings to the table that I think he's going to flourish with this team and this team is going to flourish with him because of what he brings to the table in that respect.
He has that just that grown man mentality, right? Like, it's business for me. Mm-hmm. Night in, night out, game on the line. Let me lead the troops, or I know what I do well. And I'm just going to do that because you can't stop it, which he's proven time and time again.
And that's what I talk about with the discipline, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've said it a number of different times. You see him, you know, the way he speaks and the way he approaches the game and his career and his professionalism. And then you talk about stuff like how the game has changed and everybody's shooting a three and they're spreading the floor out and all this other stuff. And DeMar is disciplined enough to know his strengths to say, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm not going to feel like I need to put up a bunch of threes to hang around in this league. I'm going to do what I do as good or better than anybody else in this league. Get to my spots, get to them elbows, get 16, 17 feet away. And go to work. And he hasn't fallen. I don't want to say it's a trap, but he hasn't fallen into trying to ride the wave of, oh, I need to be a 3-point shooter. He said, I'm disciplined enough to stick with what got me here.
My question to that is, though, now with the system that's in place currently with Sacramento, to me, even last came on a couple of times, the spacing for that 15 and his strengths, I believe it may be restricted a little more because of the lack of shooting from Sabonis from the three ball position.
But I'll say this though, like spacing for him or for the team in general.
Well, we got guys that want to get downhill.
Who you helping off
downhill,
of?
Huh?
Who you helping off of? If he's at the elbow, and he's got.
But where's Sabonis going to be at in the whole thing? Where's he going to go?
He's going to be at the block. DeMar will get to the basket, but that's not. He doesn't have to live off that. If Sabonis is in the dunker spot, and DeRozan is 15 feet away, at the elbow. He'll do a couple move shifties and get up and rise and fire over the top of you. He don't have to get to the bucket for – like that shot, that mid-range from 15 feet away, that's probably an 80% shot
for him. Yeah, that's a layup for him. But for me, I would like to see – like I can't wait to see how the continuity of it comes to play.
And he is a creator for others. So if he does attack the basket, there, yeah. and he draws Sabonis' guy because he's there to help. It's just a dump off, and Sabonis will either finish or Sabonis will get that in the guy, in the help-to-helper situation. Now you kicking out the shooters. Now the help-to-helper, Sabonis gets that dump off from DeRozan. You got to go help and stop Sabonis. We kicking it out to a wide-open Keegan Murray or a wide-open Keon Ellis or a wide-open Malik Monk, and that's how we hurt you.
But I would, to me right now, that sounds great. I got you. But I, what I've seen Sabonis do when the dump off comes times is the you got to catch and go right up. Like, that's the one thing I think difference in, like, you look at Dallas, you look at even Lakers.
Oh, them boys can't finish.
No.
Them boys can't finish.
Who?
Them boys in Dallas. They can't finish like Sabonis. Like, they do that. They do the lobs. How many lobs they getting, though?
That's the game. A lot.
They ain't getting a lot. They getting enough
Boston,
to be effective.
Throw it to person. It's a lob. It's a 4-out win-in game now.
Boston's different. Boston's different.
OKC Thunder, it's a 4-out win-in game. And even Chet goes out and shoots the shots. So that's what I'm saying. We don't have that. Yes, he may be in a dunker spot, but he don't catch the lob threat to draw two. It's a dump off. He's going to give you that. And don't let him be on that right side. You know, he got to turn this way.
Sabonis, you know what I mean? I am not worried about Sabonis at all. Sabonis was 20-13, All-NBA 13. Yeah. If he pump fake, he can pump fake himself to another All-NBA.
I'm cool off that. I don't want to see pump faking no more.
20-13.
Yeah, I need a bucket or go make two free throws.
He's giving you buckets. He's giving you 20-13.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it needs to be. Well, now he'll have to, now that will
like
take
all
that.
Those guys that you talk about.
Yeah.
They're not giving you the production Sabonis is. None of them.
I understand, but the style of play fits what the NBA I believe is right now.
I understand. I don't really care how it look though. None of them guys, the Lively, Gaffords.
But what does that allow you to do,
the
though?
The Chet Holmgrens, they not giving you the
but
same.
But that allows
production.
Fox to get downhill, Monk to the basket, Keegan to the basket. That allows
you.
Paint touches.
I understand.
Which you need to get those spray threes, correct?
I understand, but it's gonna look a little different this year. They're not going to be as reliant on the three-point shot. They're not going to be as reliant on
the three-point shot. So does that mean we don't score many points anymore?
No, I think they're going to be dynamic offensively. Mm. I think they're going to be even more versatile now on the offensive end. They're going to get to the line a lot more than they did. They're going to have a different variance to their offense with DeMar DeRozan there.
Well,
because now you can't say we're going to stay home on the threes and nobody else is going to create.
Yeah.
Now you got at least three creators on the floor most of the time when you talk about Fox, Monk, and DeRozan that can go get their own.
I'm ready to see that small ball lineup with Trey Lyles and for Sabonis. And then you got Keegan.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, for a month ago was Sarah Hodges. Now it's Coach JT. Everybody
saying.
Hating DeMontis Sabonis.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Don't hate it.
When you want to see the small ball?
No. I mean, I'm saying I can't wait to see it because I just feel the space. It's about spacing right now. You know this. You know you want to play in space. You don't want to have nobody clogging the lane when you drive to the rack.
DeMar
you don't want to have that.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's fine for DeMar. It's about the five position for us, though. I feel that's our the weakness to a certain extent as far as letting the guards be aggressive because when he's somebody down there, then that's when you get Monk taking them tough old threes. You get taking them side steps instead of it's downhill, midi, or shoot the spray three.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
What's the difference between being able to do all that before, like why would it be much different now with DeMar DeRozan as opposed to when Harrison Barnes was there?
It'd be different because at least Harrison Barnes would step out to the three more consistently.
Nobody
to
respected
be there.
Him.
I
that's
get
why
that.
He was so. It's, it don't matter if you step out if the defender's not going out with you and respecting you. You can watch me in the parking lot.
So even
they're
better,
not gonna go out with you.
DeMar doesn't shoot the three, right? So now at the free throw line, knowing I could play a zone for a half, whatever the time limit is of that zone, and still sag off, there are gonna be more bodies in the paint. So now you're going three out, basically two in.
Nah,
there's no
going,
spacing.
You're going, but you got a guy in DeMar DeRozan.
He's got a kill at the
will operate.
He's got a kill
in
there.
Those spots and dominate.
But does that hinder the other two guards you got? You just pay one guy $80 million and you just bought Fox. Does that hinder their performance throughout the game? Is what we got to find out.
I mean, I don't think it hinders their performance. Okay. Maybe the numbers might look a little different.
Okay,
but I don't think it hinders their performance because let's just be honest. With no disrespect, because we talked about it. I got my man Coach JT here with me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.